enduro time. Up goes the complexity. Two drivers, 500 kilometres and 161 laps. Another Sandown Classic gets underway. That's a gigantic game changer.
This is going to be fantastic.
They are Maximum Attack. And the apprentice today has joined the master. Feeney and Wincup are the winners of the Sandown 500.
Nighttime has descended here at Sandown. A big warm welcome, cooling welcome here. Chad Nailon and James Pavey. This is the Schick cool down lap. And we are going for a walk out the back of the garages. Penrite All Sandown 500, been a big, big day. An exciting one, Paves. What do you reckon?
Well, this is the Melbourne we know and love, isn't it? The cold's finally come in, but we were blessed with amazing weather. And I think today's race was really enthralling, considering, you know, it's the first Sandown 500 in, what, 4 years? And first enduro for these new cars. There's a lot going on, but what a great result at the end. Obviously, the young kid and the goat getting their win together. Everyone thought it was a good combination. They delivered today.
How about all the championship combatants and the Repco Supercars Championship right in there as well? We're standing down by the wildcard pits at the moment. We caught up with Zane Goddard off the back of Darwin, so we figured we'd dive in there and see if we can get another word with him. Come on out, Zane. Quick chat for the Cool Down Lap podcast. I'll get you away from the music for a second if we can. As there's not a heap of packing up going on because we're all coming back for rides tomorrow. You back for a few rides tomorrow, Zane?
Yeah, I want to sleep, but yeah, I got rides, which is always fun. It's fun taking the partners around and making their days, so looking forward to that.
Top 10 on return, hey? That's pretty handy. You happy with that?
Yeah, really happy. Far out. Craig was quick at the start. He was looking like he'd never left, to be honest. Yeah, he's going through the field so quick. Sort of sitting there like, oh, maybe we should just keep him in, to be honest. But no, it's good. Held on to a top 10. Had a lot of pressure there at the end with the safety car and stuff. But yeah, good afternoon. All the teams put in a lot of work, so massive thanks to them. And yeah, it's a good reward.
Zane, bit of a heart and mouth moment when Craig was behind the wheel on turn five, I think. What was going through your mind when you saw your car crossed up going 200 plus?
Yeah, well, there was a lot of yelling in the garage. Like, usually it doesn't end up good when that happens. But yeah, gathered it up. I think it happened to someone else as well. Yeah, pretty hectic through there. So yeah, glad that the car came out the other side. It's funny, we asked Greg, oh, any loose moments? He's like, no, not really. Then we were like, what about that? He's like, oh yeah, that was pretty loose, I guess.
Have you had a chance to now witness the sheer force that is Craig Lowndes when it comes to the fans and the autographs and everything else? I mean, this is Sandown. Bathurst will go to another level again.
Yeah, exactly. That's what everyone's saying. Yeah, it's crazy. Everyone knows him. There's not really any other driver in the paddock that's quite the same, to be honest. But yeah, he's got so much time for the fans and loves interacting with them and stuff. So yeah, I understand why they love him so much. But yeah, Bathurst is going to be pretty hectic for sure.
Bring it on. Thank you, mate.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Well done. The Super Cheap Auto wildcard coming home inside the top 10. Very handy performance by them indeed. And we're at the back of the Cool Drive pits. I've actually spotted another driver ahead. We're doing all right. We're 2 from 2 here at the moment.
We're a bit worried.
We're starting the podcast so late
come
tonight
here, Tim.
That we're worried at how many people we'd find back here. But you've got one of the team bosses who doubles as a driver.
You're a busy boy, Tim Blanchard. You've got two cars. You've got another car at Super 2. But how was your day? I mean, Toddy had some great pace over one lap, but the race was a pretty tough one.
Yesterday was a better day, that's for sure. Yeah, we were trucking along all right, but yeah, kind of the signs were there pretty early that we didn't have great tyre life, and yeah, when Toddy got in here to do slightly longer stints than me, and you saw him struggle a fair bit. So anyway, that's Bathurst is a different beast, and we've learnt a lot this weekend from running two cars. A lot of procedural things this weekend was just, to be honest, about getting here and being part of it and getting on track. And now it's kind of we start looking at ways to improve our performance. And yeah, there's a lot we did right and a lot we can improve. So yeah, very, very good weekend, I think.
Yeah, did you enjoy having two cars in the garage and just that whole experience of, you know, that was always the plan to be a two-car team? Well, it's here.
Yeah, it's a lot more stress, a lot more work, so I'm not sure it's good. But it was good that, you know, you can kind of try things and learn from each other. So even like last night, Todd and Aaron are kind of comparing how they're driving it and how they're setting it up. And, you know, like Todd hasn't had that all year. And, you know, it's obviously Aaron's first weekend, so he's in the deep end, but it was the first time this year that Todd in Gen 3 car, Todd's actually been able to, you know, have a teammate to compare a few things against, and we've as a team been able to kind of try two different things in two different cars and see what works in the same conditions. So So there was a lot of benefits that came out of it.
Random one, guys. We did see James Masterton have a bit of a nasty one in Super 2. That's an ex-BRT car. Will you guys be able to help him at all, try to get back for Bathurst?
Yeah, I only just saw it leaving the track, so it looks pretty bad. That was obviously a Tickford car that we gave a birthday to. We've tried helping James out a little bit this year, but if we can help him, we will. But yeah, we've obviously got a huge workload for our little team in expanding for next year and getting our three cars to Bathurst. But yeah, if we can help him, we certainly will.
Thank you, mate.
Cool.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Good on you, buddy. Good to see him back in a race car himself, of course. Still extremely able. Off to Newlon Racing. How did we go at Newlon Racing so far? Over 500Ks. Well, yeah. James Golding home for 15th today.
Yeah, but the highlight for this team, obviously a top 10 for Tim Slade and Jono Webb. Jono Webb's been around the world for a while, and so is Tim Slade. But a top 10 in these sort of races, nothing to... Obviously, Pete Gibberish, the team owner, set such a high standard for this team. So to get a result in the long race is pretty impressive for these guys.
Yeah, can't see a heap going on. They do have the ride day here tomorrow, so not a lot of packing up is going to be going on tonight. And like I said at the top, we were starting the pod a little bit later today. There was so much to talk about off the back of that race earlier. And we did have Dunlop Series, like we mentioned, as well. So quick shout-out that the Walkinshaw Andretti United guys, while they didn't have a great race in the 500, definitely had a good weekend in the Dunlop Series.
Yeah, Ryan Wood's really, really showing his hand ahead of next year, isn't he? I mean, that performance yesterday when he was able to just get past... I don't think anyone... I've never seen a driver have such an affinity with Turn 1 and Turn 2 than Ryan Wood. That's such impressive driving, and to put it under pressure as well. Come home with a round win obviously sets him up for a good strong end of the year.
Yeah, he was certainly wasn't afraid to have a crack out there earlier today, Ryan, and did a very nice job at bringing that car home very strongly across the course of those two races. Threw in a few moves out there as well. We're at the back of Truck Assist Racing at the moment. I was wondering if I might be able to see maybe Jack Bellotti or one of the guys down here from Truck Assist, see how their boys went. He's working on brakes down here. It is Jack Bellotti. Here we go, the engineer for Car 34 on the podcast. No cameras, just audio. Working long into the night, mate. How's it going down here?
Yeah, it's okay. Ride day tomorrow.
How did the two boys in Car 34 go throughout the course of the day, you reckon?
It was good at times.
Yep.
Yeah. Struggled a little bit off the start. Juice was really competitive. I was happy with that. Made a little mistake on his way into the pits. And from then on, it was a bit compromised. So, yeah, hard work.
Will we have two cars for the ride day tomorrow?
One car, but the other car's back up.
Okay, cool. All right, thank you very much. Jack, we'll catch you guys at Bathurst. They did a nice job in qualifying in particular down at Truck Assist Racing, and they'll be looking for a return to some of the form that they had earlier in the year, James.
We're here next door at Brad Jones Racing, and some key storylines out today. Andre Heimgartner and Dale Wood ran a relatively quiet race today. They came out in P5, and considering the issues for Chas Mostyn and Cam Waters, Andre's now fifth in the championship. That's a big story for these guys.
I didn't realise that.
I think their best in supercars is sixth overall, Fabs in 2013. So top five for Andre. Good signs for Bathurst, obviously. Heartbreak for them last year, so they're really excited.
That's actually a really good point. I hadn't realised the effect that had on his championship fight for Andre Heimgartner and for Dale Wood as well, who was on the receiving end of what happened last year at Bathurst. Big positive result. First time in the top 10, let alone top 5 for him here at the Sandown 500. First time in the top 5 since, I think, he finished 4th for Erebus at Bathurst a few years ago.
2017.
So, well done. There really you were on race, it for the stats.
I'm a bit of a nerd.
A bit. All right, let's keep on moving down then. We'll have a chat. I see Kevin Fitzsimmons here. We'll have a quick chat with him. Dunlop, we're on the podcast, Kevin. We're chatting to all and sundry on our way through. Dunlop super soft tyre this weekend. I don't recall a weekend where we've been talking about tyres quite like we did this weekend. Your thoughts from Dunlop's perspective?
Yeah, they did.
Well, you are a little bit poorly.
Mate, I'm very hoarse. I was pretty happy with the way things worked out, actually. Once again, like Townsville, very low tread depths at the end of the stint, but they were still punching out lap times. And even at the end of the race there, sort of thing, you know, 10.5s, 10.6s sort of thing, and 28, 29 laps in. So, it's pretty happy.
All right, I won't ask you another question because it sounds painful, but thank you, mate. Thank you, buddy. If I had any idea, he was struggling quite that badly. A quick shout-out, by the way, they're going to be raising $60 per pit stop at Bathurst for the Breast Cancer Awareness Month as well. So they'll have the pink tyres back from Mount Panorama. They've upped it. Last year it was $50 per pit stop. Inflation, you see, Joe. So they're going to go $60 per pit stop this year. So thank you to Dunlop for that wonderful initiative. We are at the back of the Brad Jones Racing team. It's all pretty quiet in here at the moment. Two cars looking ready to go for tomorrow's ride day. And most people are back out and grabbing a bite to eat off the back of they're getting that big top five result today.
Yeah, it's been a big weekend for a lot of teams, but you think about it, you know, 500k race, back tomorrow for a ride day. Oof, ride days, as we always say, are amazing for the corporates and for the fans to get as close as they can to the action as possible. You and I have both been in the seat of a car before. It's bloody awesome, so I'm happy for
you. Done a Gen 3 ride yet?
I did a Gen 3 ride on the prototype with a bloke called Marcus Ambrose at Simmons Plains last year.
Yep.
And He knows that track pretty well. He's a local. I remember going up to Hill at Turn 4 and I was trying to hit the brake myself in the passenger seat. I'm not a good passenger to all listeners, but it's good to see how far these cars have come. That was 18 months ago.
We're at the back of Team 18 at the moment. Mark Winterbottom did a nice job driving with Michael Caruso, just missing out on a top 10. Relatively trouble-free race for the Team 18 cars.
Yeah, I mean, Frosty and Caruso, let's not forget Caruso in that first part of the race when the co-drivers were in, they were top three, and he was looking really good to sort of challenge those front guys, but the race sort of fell away, and I believe the 18 got a time penalty for an indiscretion in the pits as well. But
did too, good point, yeah.
But the 20 of Pye and Luff as well, they were hanging around there as well, but unfortunately lost a few laps at the end as well. So they got some great pairings, some guys who know the podium well at Bathurst, they'll come back.
I did appreciate, at least with the late race restart, they had one green tyre left over, and so they threw it on the right rear of Scott Pye's car just to see what would happen, but wasn't to be today for Scott, finishing 21st in this one. Let's mosey on down to Penrite Racing. And, tale of two garages for this team today. Real heartbreaker for Davey Reynolds, who, by my math, is the only driver here today that didn't get to drive.
Didn't get to drive, and it was pretty heartbreaking to see the replays go to that garage and Sid look on his face, because you always want to get behind the wheel, but unfortunately they didn't. But a guy who did is Matt Payne, who did a fantastic job with Kevin Estre. P5.
Yeah.
Kevin Estre is world-class. People know him all around the world in sports car racing, but to get in the car, he looked at home. He looked at home in one of these cars. It was really impressive. And
we'll see if we can get a quick chat. We're going to see if we can dive on here and bring the young Kiwi out. Sorry, Costa. Sorry, boys. See if we can dive on in. He's discussing pit stop driver changes. Matty, hey, mate, we're on the podcast. Come on out for a quick chat. He's about to dive into a Whitaker's bar. That's the most Kiwi thing I've seen all day. Diving into a Whitaker's bar there, mate.
Oh, it's been up slab. It's a bit of a spacing out.
Hey, let's have a chat about your day. Well done. Sixth in the end, I think it was, and you had real speed towards the end of that race. One thing that I heard the team telling you throughout the course of the race was just how well you were looking after your tyres. Do you feel like you made some pretty big gains there today?
Yeah, I think we actually did that. We had a seriously fast car right from the start. I don't think I can say anything else without mentioning how well Kevin did. Mm. Kevin did unbelievably good in this first two stints. He did an awesome job managing the tyre. He learnt throughout the first two stints, so credit where's due, and I think he did a really good job. But I think my first stint was not great. I don't know why, but I just couldn't turn the tyre on. I lost a lot of time to the guys at the front, but then the next two stints were heaps better. I don't know if that's we had different pressures or what, but we had some serious pace at the end before the safety car came out. So yeah,
Matty, I'm sure a few eyebrows were raised when it was announced that you guys were picking an international who has never raced a supercar before. He only drove the car for the first time at Winton the other day. He looked at home. That's pretty confidence-inspiring going to a place like Bathurst.
Yeah, I think, we all know Kevin's a serious, he's a world-class driver. He races, he's a driver for Porsche, so he's got some serious talent, but today he definitely stepped up, and these cars are not easy to drive at the best of times, so he did really well managing the tyre, and I think, we've had a good result at the Bend, and now we've had a strong result here. I think it's good momentum heading into Bathurst for that round.
Real heartbreaker for the other side of the garage. Davey didn't even get to have a pedal today. Garth was in the car. Pretty scary moment too with what happened down there. What's the vibe like in the team with that car needing a fair old birthday before Bathurst?
At the end of the day, it's racing. This stuff happens, and it's mostly out of your control. Like today, the wheel fell off, which, we haven't seen that in a very long time, and I'm not overly sure of what happened or how it happened. I was pretty gutted when that happened, and I think they were definitely in within a shot of being, really close to a podium. I think they had a really fast car as well, so I'm sure Dave would have done a really good job, and it's just sad to see it in the garage needing a birthday, but it'll be fixed for rides tomorrow. So.
Oh, impressive. Thank you, mate. Impressive. Appreciate you coming up for a chat. Enjoy the dessert. That is a big shame because they did have two fast cars, and they would have been walking out of there with potentially to good results.
Yeah.
Just before we get to a quick break here, I just wanted to mention we've got the Federation Falcon here. The Grove Racing team were celebrating that old school livery for the great Alan Moffat, and also helping to raise some much needed funds and awareness for dementia here, of which Alan is a patron as well. So that was a nice nod from the team there too.
He's an absolute Sandown legend, isn't he? And it was great to see the team put some photos up. They delivered the car to Alan so we can have a look at it, and that was a fantastic moment.
And a sense of irony that the wheel that came off Garth's car hit James Moffat on the rear wing and unfortunately took him out of contention in car six today as well. All right, quick break here. Stick with us. We're going to be getting into our Schick Hydro three key moments of the day. I'm going to pose that one to you, give you some thinking music, Paves. Back in a sec.
Experience a close shave and no more sensitive skin with Schick. Schick Hydro Sensitive with shock absorb technology helps to protect sensitive skin from irritation. Available at all major supermarkets.
All right, we're back and we're out the back of Walkinshaw Andretti United. And this is a team that always goes big on the Enduros. Unfortunately, today at Sandown wasn't their day. Let's just quickly chat about this one. Lee Holdsworth in particular, a little bit unlucky to get clouded up the back on lap one at turn nine.
Oh, I mean, when you're in a 3.5 hour plus race and you got damage on lap one, it's always going to be a tough day. But unfortunately, it just got harder from there. Obviously, Chaz was caught up in an incident with Declan Fraser. He got a 15-second penalty, I believe, and was reclassified 22nd. Not the day these guys wanted, but as we said before, a fantastic weekend in the Super 2 part of the team.
Yes, it was. You know what? I might actually dive into the first of my Schick Hydro three key moments of the weekend. And I'm going to give a very special shout out to Ryan Wood. He's going to be the first of my one because I thought he was just so sublime in Dunlop Series. And that is just the proof right there as to why they've promoted him mid-season. Three supercars rounds to his name. And he went and did that. But also Zach Bates as well, getting right up there in a big confidence boost. So both of their Dunlop Series drivers having a really good weekend.
I think Wood's going to be one of the great entertainers of our sport. I think coming in next year, if you can do, I love the way he races, the way that he goes dummies, ins and out. It reminds me of another Kiwi that's been around for a while, but
yeah.
He's also a smart racer. You think of those different lines that he was taking through turns one and two to get the lead, to have the confidence go around the outside. Really, really impressive from a kid.
All right, I'll throw the next one to you, Paves. What do you reckon? Moment number two for the weekend.
I love the end of this race today. I think you're always thinking about, is there going to be a safety car? Because the margins were quite big. They're all there on genuine pace and strategy. But, you know, what's going to happen if there's a safety car? There was a safety car and so much happened. Brock had to hold on. Brody had a crack. Will made a mistake. Shane got through. And that's the essence of endurance racing. You never know what's going to happen. And I'm just so glad to have it back here at Sandown.
Couldn't agree more. So that leads us to number one. What do you think? What comes to mind for you? Biggest moment of the weekend?
Oh wow. I mean, there was...
What do we walk away with the biggest headline being, do you think, here today?
There's a title fight raging on.
Yep.
There's a big crowd that's really interested. And obviously, you know, I'm blessed to see the online numbers and people are tuning in to watch this stuff. It's really impressive. But what about you?
I'll go that big old heritage-listed grandstand being absolutely packed. And particularly in that Dunlop Series race when the incident happened down the backstretch, when Aaron Love got turned around, it was like a footy crowd up there. It was seriously vocal. The pre-race hype out in front of that grandstand was great. This Sandown 500 event is alive and well. I know there's a lot of talk about the future of this place. At the moment, you know, we're hopefully going to get a few more in, but definitely next year, so we'll get to the 60th. But this is too good a race to not have, and to have it back as the 500, to be back doing what we do here, the weather that we got treated to this weekend, the fact that there was no footy in Melbourne apart from the Friday night game, I think it was, the signs were always there that we were going to get a big event with a big crowd, and it certainly lived up to the promise.
Yeah, I think when you work at events, you're always grateful when you have a moment to take in the sea of people around you. And you know, I was lucky enough to have a few moments just to go for a walk because there was so much going on.
Yep.
But going towards the grandstand and a few of our guys in the social media team, every time they go to the grandstand, it's hard to get through the sea of people and getting that shot of the amazing crowd. I mean, people love sport in Melbourne. It's a sporting capital of the world, I think. And they delivered this weekend considering that, you know, there was 96K at the G the other night. The crowd here was fantastic, and well done everyone who came out and supported it.
Well done indeed. All right, let's mosey on down a little bit further up the lane. Sorry, Vincenzo. Vinny's packing up down there at Walkinshaw Andretti United. They'll be setting up all the corporate facilities for tomorrow and the big ride day that'll be happening here. It's the Ride Day 500 tomorrow. There's going to be a lot of laps. I think I heard 888 say they had 250 passenger rides to do tomorrow. Nice. So
one for every winner.
Whoa, yeah, exactly. Good point. They did bring out the 250th. We'll get down to that part very soon. I'm standing at the back of the Fraser and Everingham car and the Randall and Jacobson cars. And unfortunately, it just wasn't Tickford's day here at Sandown.
No, I mean, when you have four cars, you shouldn't really expect sometimes to have four amazing stories. But unfortunately for these guys, it just got off to such a rough start for the number six. But the number 56, they did a really good job, I thought. Fraser and Tyler Everingham, another Super 2 guy. And obviously, Fraser won the championship last year. They did a really solid job, and unfortunately got turned around by the 25 late in the race. And obviously the 55, the Castrol car of Randall and Gary, picked up some damage as well. So
yeah, they came home in 13th despite being turned around, which is a pretty good effort for that car. And yeah, I think it did a power steering belt, car 55, the Randall and Jacobson car. But one thing that they did get to do is give Gary Jacobson some more laps. So he did way more than his 54 co-driver laps, because the next time he's going to get to drive is Bathurst. So they turned this into a little test day, which is clever.
Yeah, and Gary's no mug behind the wheel. He's been there and done that. But, you know, in these weekends where there's so much pressure, you're coming into it after a few test days straight to the racing, 500Ks in these new cars. They held their heads high, I think. They can look forward to Bathurst and be confident.
Yeah, good chance to get some Gen 3 laps there for Gaz. So that's quite telling for him. The other big note as well at Tickford, as we arrive at their other garage with car six having a little bit of a clean up on it at the moment. Brad Vaughan did a really nice job in Dunlop Series, picked up his first Armour All Pole Award, and that car wouldn't start on the dummy grid as well. They changed the starter motor, got it back out there, and was able to go and put the thing on pole, which is hugely impressive and tells you a lot about his psyche.
Can you imagine sitting on a dummy grid as cars starting to roll out? Your car's not firing up. You go out there and put a pole lap. That's very impressive. But
you'd be getting that sinking feeling indeed. So yeah, we'll quickly touch on what happened for the two Tickford cars next door, in particular car six. It was the big story of the race was the wheel that came from absolutely nowhere and somehow crushed the rear wing of that car. I was standing at the wildcard end of pit lane, and I saw James Moffat close on the back of it would have been Dave Russell's car 99 during the safety car period, and I just sort of caught it at the corner of my eye. I was like, the car's got no rear wing. It's like, but there'd been no talk about it, nothing, hadn't heard anything about it. I was like, what on earth just happened? How does that car not have a rear wing? And then it became like this Blues Clues trying to figure it all out.
And I think a point was made in commentary as well. I think it was Scafie made a point referencing 05, Bathurst that he won, on a wheel went to the path of Craig Lance's car. These things do not happen often. And it's unfortunate for these guys, because racing is about what ifs, and who knows what these guys could have achieved, because obviously Cam Waters is one of the fastest drivers out there. And Moffat is the consummate professional, so they'll be keen for Bathurst, I'm sure.
Yeah, so for Moff, he never actually saw it. He said he heard a bang and couldn't figure out what on earth had happened. And then it wasn't until really they got into the pit lane where they figured out, hang on a minute, this is a bit of a problem. Now, they did a very good job at fixing it and getting him back out there on the lead lap, but obviously the angle of that wing was never quite the same. And Moff is telling me, particularly at turn six over the top of the hill, that car was not too enjoyable to drive.
And one of the hard things about this event is a 3.1-kilometre circuit, 70 seconds. If you lose time early on, unless there are lots of safety cars to get your time back, which unfortunately for those guys there weren't, it's very hard to fight back. And if you lose a lap especially, well, you're always fighting from behind, unfortunately.
Indeed. Two teams left on the tour out here today. And we're at the back of Shell V Power Racing. Really good recovery drive from this team. They got Will Davison into the Armour All Shootout. They plugged away at it all day. They had that one weird issue with Anton's car where it started blowing a bit of smoke, but that randomly went away. I just wonder if maybe that had some rubber build-up or something like that, because whatever it was, it didn't seem to be much of a problem.
No, 7th and 8th, I think this team would be happy with 7th and 8th. Yep. Obviously, the bar is high. They want to win. They want to get trophies. But you know, considering how many things can happen in these races, to get back here is really impressive.
Yeah, another solid day also for the co-drivers down here at Shell V Power Racing as well. We know that they've got two of the more reliable guys in pit lane. And they drove pretty much faultlessly as well. I think there was one moment on track where they passed each other that was almost a little bit of a heart stopper, but they did a pretty good job ultimately of staying out of trouble and getting the job done. And they're one of the teams that will be sitting up for a very big ride day tomorrow by the looks of it.
Yes, and looking to Bathurst as well, they'll be running with three cars at Bathurst. I had the pleasure of talking to Simona Di Silvestro this morning. You can find that story on supercars.com, but she's pumped. She's ready to go, obviously paired with Kyle Allen in a brand new DJR Mustang as well. So, and she's done 5 or 6 starts at Bathurst. She loves the place. She told me that she wants to come back every year and do it. She loves the race so much. But she's setting the bar high. She thinks a top 10 is really achievable. And if you consider how well Kyle Allen is driving at 18 years old, it's a really sure bet.
And also her third wildcard at Bathurst as well, which is unusual. And I had a good chat to her on the grid today about getting to know Kai. She said it feels like her little brother already out there. And, you know, is this like clean faced young guy who's full of hopes and dreams, and just sort of how exciting it was to watch him get his first taste at Bathurst as well. The other funny thing there, Paves, is typically, like the teams down the other end doing the wild cards, the three wild cards down there, you would do both Sandown and Bathurst. Now, because of the super license rules that were in place midway through the year, they couldn't get Kai Allen in time to be able to do Sandown. It all happened rather late and they were able to get him in for Bathurst. Had they been planning to do both Sandown and Bathurst, when Simona had her appendicitis, that probably would have scuppered the entire plan.
That's a really good point. Again, when in that story this morning, she said, you know, when you're feeling okay and then you start to feel a bit crook, you're in surgery a few hours later, and there were moments when she thought, man, I might not be okay for Bathurst. Something that you're looking forward to, a really good opportunity with an amazing team like this. You know, they have those moments, but to... again, what ifs, you know, who knows what will happen, but I'm sure they're keen for Bathurst because it's a special race for those guys. They've won it a few times, but also if you're a fan of that team, I'm sure you can't wait to see the new look car as well, because it's going to look pretty cool.
Yeah, right. Have you seen it? Is that a little scoop?
I haven't seen it. The shirts are
very bright yellow, so is that a clue, I wonder?
I think it's a bit of a clue, Jack.
Okay, it's very exciting. We are out the back, I should say,
Zane's of
Triple A Racing. Zane Goddard's doing the most laps out of everyone. He's been moving fuel cans in the background up and down pit lane. No one's working harder than him tonight. Let's go in and see who we can find. 20 years and 250 race wins. I've got the party started down here. There's plenty of music pumping. And I might get the race-winning engineer, Martin Short, for chat. Marty, well done. That's a Sandown 500 victory. On the podcast right now, and I wanted to say congratulations. You got a big grin on your face right now, I bet.
Yeah, for sure. It was an awesome race. It was a dream to win a big event, endurance event, with two great drivers. So, yeah, I'm really stoked.
What's it like working and winning with Jamie Wincup? You're now joining a pretty illustrious list of engineers who've taken Jade up to victory lane.
Yeah, I mean, I can see why he's been so successful in the past. The amount of knowledge and all the attention to detail that he brings and experience he passes on to Brock is awesome to see. And it's truly a pleasure to work with such a legend.
I was keying into a few of the radios throughout the course of the race, and not a lot of chat going on between you and Brock, particularly in that last stint. It's almost like you just leave him to go and do his job.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty focused, so I just keep him up to date with the gaps and what he's got to do, and he goes and does it. So yeah, can't ask for more than that.
Ever been as excited as you are right now for a Bathurst 1000?
Nah, I'm pretty excited. I think there's going to be a busy few weeks getting ready, but I've got two of the best drivers, so I think we're in with a chance.
Well done, matey. Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you.
There you go, race-winning engineer from the Sandown 500, working with Brock Feeney and Jamie Wincup. What a cool experience that is. I mean, we know that they had the relationship, he and Brock, when they were in Dunlop Series together, but to work with a driver of Jamie's experience and to take that win will be a pretty special day for Marty indeed.
I'd love to get a word from Mark Dutton as well. He's packing up. It's a pack-up Grand Prix, but Mark, a 1-3 for you guys today. Congratulations. But I'd love to get a word from you as well, because 250 wins is a massive achievement, and you've been there for pretty much the whole ride. That must be pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool. Obviously, it was really tight today, and a lot of variables with the change of the car. But, you know, for everyone, the bigger capacity, the slower refill rate, you know, how long the tyres are going to last. So the whole team did a cracker job. You know, the engineers, the drivers, the pit crew, we made it tough for them as well, and they all stood up when it counted.
I think I spoke to you at the Bend as well, and you're like, oh, you guys love endurance racing. You've got 7 wins at Sandown. You've got a lot of wins at Bathurst. And you've got 8 wins at Sandown. You guys know how to make it work in long races, but Bathurst is another kettle of fish. These cars, 1,000 kilometres, you must be pretty excited considering how well you guys both went today.
Oh, most definitely. Like, all four drivers didn't put a foot wrong, and that's what you need to win endurance racing, just minimising mistakes. Fast cars, minimising mistakes, pit crew, engineers, and... We did that today. I can't think of any major mistakes, and I'm struggling to think of any minor mistakes that the team did today. So we'll debrief and dig some out for sure, because we can always improve, but super proud of everyone.
And a quick last one, 250 wins, which one's your favourite?
We're 250 is fortunate to not be able to pick one.
Yeah. It's a great answer.
Well done, Mark. Just quickly, on the 97 as well, getting that good result in third today. Good to see Shane driving the positivity today and doing what he did here a couple of years ago, just peeling through the pack at Sandown.
Yeah, exactly. The thing you can always counter with Shane is when it comes race day and the actual race, you're going to get the best of him. He's the the purest of races there are. So, yeah, we had a bit of a tough lead up in practice and qualifying, etc. But the whole team was confident that come race day he'd get the eyes on and do a cracker job. And, I mean, Richie was faultless. Yeah, he started the car beautifully and just pushed hard and delivered a pristine car to Shane.
Well done. Thank you, Dutto.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Well done. Just before we wrap things up here, Paves, it'd be good to hear from the fans. Want to know who they thought the BP Ultimate Performer was from this one. A couple early thoughts. I mean, obviously, Car 88 is going to be at the front of that one. But, gee, the 97 finishing third from 19th. Last time he climbed up 16 spots, he won from 17th.
That's
here.
Right.
He just seems to get done, doesn't he?
Yeah, they're very good down here at Triple Eight. They know how to make these long races work, as Mark Dutton just said. But also, I'm really impressed by the way that Erebus controlled this race. You know, they'll be disappointed. They had a front row lockout and didn't get the win. But the way they were able to just play their way in, make sure that they had opportunities at the end. Obviously, it was unfortunate to see Will Brand have that bit of a slide at the S's late in the race that gave the podium to Shane. But, you know, they're in the fight. They always have been. You know, the team boss, Barry Ryan, loves how they're always in the fight. They'll be there for Bathurst for sure.
I'm not sure if you can vote for co-drivers, but special mention to Kevin Estre as well, because he did a sublime job, didn't he, driving down there with the Grove team. All right, that wraps it up. Apologies, we didn't get to too many team bosses, drivers and engineers because there's not a lot here right now, but we'll try and pick up our socks a little bit when we get to the great race. Paves, thank you very much, and it has been so good to see the 500 back.
Roll on Bathurst.